One of the reasons why I believe God gave us the royal law is because it would be impossible to list every single wrong thing a human being could do. What I would like to do as we start off this morning is to start off with just one simple question, and it's this. If you could pick one law that everyone had to follow, what would it be and why? Now, I know that some of you guys may be thinking something like this, that no one could ever lie ever again. I mean, imagine what the world would look like if lying just disappeared overnight. No more scam calls, no more deception, no more broken trust. Or what about this? What if everyone had to obey traffic laws? Imagine a world, if you will, with no more drinking and driving, fewer accidents, and safer roads for everyone. Or what about the big one? No murder. All of these are good ideas, right? And thankfully, God has given us everything that we need to live a good and godly life in His holy word. Amen? But when you open up the Bible, you quickly realize something, and it's this, that God's word has an awful lot of commands in it. In the first five books of the Bible alone, did you guys know that there's about 613 commands in the Law of Moses? And when people have counted the instructions for Christian living in the New Testament, it comes out to be about 1,050. Now, that's a lot to keep track of. Have you guys ever thought this before? I want to obey God. But what if even after reading the whole Bible, I overlook something really important? What if I'm out in the world and then in the middle of the situation, I forget what I'm supposed to do or not do? But what if I told you guys that God, in His holy wisdom, gave you a gift, an easy way to help us remember all of His commands? And it's called the royal law. The royal law, or lex regia in Latin, is not just one command among many. It is the law that helps us understand them all. And the royal law is this: to love your neighbor as yourself. And James tells us that if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, you are doing right. Now, this is simple enough to remember, but it's powerful enough to shape every decision that we make. Now, if you look at the crest on the screen behind me, you'll notice several symbols on the crest. Now, kings throughout history have had crests that represent their authority, and they pick things that represent their values. And in a similar way, this crest reminds us of the values behind the royal law. Each picture up here represents a part of what we are going to be talking about this morning. The Bible reminds us of where the royal law comes from. The scales remind us that God is a just judge. The heart reminds us that the royal law is all about love. And the hands remind us that we must treat others without favoritism. And we'll walk through each of those together this morning. Now, you may be wondering, why is it called the royal law? What makes it royal? Well, the reason why this law is called a royal law is because it comes from the king with a capital K. The sons of Korah, one of the greatest praise and worship artists found in the New Testament, put it this way to music in Psalms chapter 47, verses 7 through 8. They said, "For God is the king of all the earth. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. And since God rules over all the earth, the royal law applies to everyone, every nation, and every culture, and every generation. And that includes us. Point number two this morning is, what actions does the royal law cover? How could one command possibly guide every ethical decision we make? Now, that may sound like a big claim, but listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. Jesus says this. He says to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Love him with all your mind, which is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. This is the first and most important commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Everything that is written in the law and the prophets is based on these two commandments. Did you guys catch what Jesus said at the end here? Jesus said that everything written in the law and the prophets hangs on these two commandments, which is to love God and to love others. Notice that Jesus does not say some things. He doesn't say most things. He doesn't say almost everything. But he says everything. Now, why? Because every sin, when you think about it, is ultimately a failure of love. Either we fail to love God, or we fail to love the people around us. And one of the reasons why I believe God gave us the royal law is because it would be impossible to list every single wrong thing a human being could do. I mean, as time goes on, people find new ways to break the rules. Now, human creativity is impressive, but unfortunately, sometimes it's used for evil. Now, let's think back. Let's take this back to real life here for a moment. Have you guys ever noticed that school rule books get longer every year? For those of you guys who have had kids, you may remember the cute little ones they gave your kid in kindergarten, and then by the time they're in high school, it seems to be this thick. And the reason is simple. It's because eventually somebody does something that the rule book never thought to mention. So as I was preparing for this lesson, I looked up the official student handbook of Rome Middle School, my alma mater, and I found this rule. It says, no flowers, balloons, gifts, or food will be accepted by RMS for delivery at any time. This includes food delivery companies such as DoorDash and Uber Eats. Now, anytime that you read a new rule or you see a warning label such as this one right here, you guys may see this when you're driving around Tennessee. It warns about falling rocks falling on cars. Well, you know why those signs are there, right? Because at some point in real life, something like this has happened. There's always a story behind it. Which means that at some point, there was a student who thought it would be a great idea to DoorDash Taco Bell to their third period class. And now the school has to add another rule to the student handbook. And situations like this happen all the time. People come up with things that the rule book never specifically mentioned. And that raises an interesting dilemma when it comes to the Bible, a book that where the last book was written almost 2,000 years ago. And it's this. The Bible does not list every single possible sin that someone could commit. About a year ago, I asked our residential Bible scholars, the Dynamic Youth, to think of one sin that wasn't mentioned in the Bible. Now, Nora raised her hand, and she said, making someone trip on purpose. And she is right. While Leviticus 19:14 clearly states not to put a stumbling block in front of the blind, It does not specifically say that thou shalt not trip someone in the hallway. But from what I'm hearing from the laughter in the audience this morning is that we all know that making someone trip on purpose is wrong. How do we know that? Because of the royal law. Even if we can't immediately put our finger on a specific Bible verse in the moment as we're going about our daily lives, we can know if something is wrong by asking ourselves, does this follow the royal law? Let's practice that together for a moment. I'm going to give you guys a few real-life situations, and we're going to apply the logic of the royal law to love our neighbors as ourselves. In other words, we're going to ask one simple question. Does this follow the royal law? So for our first example this morning, James actually gives it to us right here at the beginning of this chapter in chapter 2. He says this. He says, "My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism." And the example that James gives is this. He says, imagine that we have two visitors that comes into the assembly. We have a very well-dressed visitor, perhaps looking like myself. And then we have another visitor who maybe they're a little bit poorer, maybe they woke up a little bit late, and they look a little more ratty. Maybe they're coming in their gym clothes or something like that. And in James' example, he says, suppose the church gives special attention to the wealthy visitor while relatively ignoring the poor visitor. Does that follow the royal law? Well, of course not. So why is showing favoritism breaking the royal law? Because even if you don't have James chapter 2, verse 1 memorized, you can still know that showing favoritism is wrong because you guys wouldn't want someone treating you as less than or prejudging you based on your appearance or your bank account or your race or age or ethnicity or your social class. Example number 2, imagine someone vandalizes your house. They spray paint your walls and they flip all the furniture upside down. Would you want someone to do that to you? Well, of course not. So if we love our neighbors as ourselves, we're not going to go around and vandalize other places. Example number 3 this morning, stealing. Why does stealing break the royal law? Because you wouldn't want someone to steal from you. So if we truly love our neighbors as ourselves, we won't steal from them either. And this is why the royal law is so powerful, because it gives us a way to recognize right and wrong even when we can't specifically recall a verse. All we have to simply ask is, does this follow the royal law? And point number 3 this morning is that breaking one law breaks them all. Breaking one law breaks them all. And this leads us to something that James says that sounds a little shocking at first. James chapter 2 verse 10 says, "For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in just one point is guilty of breaking all of it." Now, if you guys are anything like me, you're probably thinking, wait a minute, how is this possible? How does breaking one law make someone guilty of breaking them all? Now, thankfully, James explains exactly what he means in the very next verse. He says, "For he who said, 'You shall not commit adultery,' also said, 'You shall not murder.' If you do not commit adultery but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker." Now, to help illustrate our point this morning, I have a few volunteers who are going to help demonstrate exactly what this looks like this morning. So could our first two volunteers please come to the stage? All right, so everyone give it up for our first two volunteers. Okay. Now, So we're going to reenact this scenario, and I think this is really going to help the royal law come to life for you guys. Okay, so Olivia, how do you feel about Charlotte?
I think she's nice.
You think she's nice? Mm-hmm. All right. So what do you have in your hand there?
Something you gave me.
Something that I gave you. All right. So what I'm going to want you to do is I want you to go ahead and load that thing, and I want you to go ahead and shoot Charlotte. All right, so what you do, pull it down. Yeah, there you go. All right.
Totally got her, guys.
Now, I'm going to need our third volunteer to come up here. All right, thank you, Maya. All right, so Maya is going to be playing the detective. All right, go ahead and lay the gun down right there. You need to go ahead and flee the scene. Okay, so Maya, come and follow me. Now, Maya, if you look over here, what do we see here? Yes, Charlotte is dead. Now, so for our first exhibit, okay, we have the body of the deceased. Now, do you see the murder weapon lying around?
Yep, I found it.
All right, now, did the murderer wear gloves? Can you check it for prints?
Probably.
Okay, excellent. So, we have prints on the weapon. What you will also see right up there, what do you see right up there in that little stand, that white thing?
A camera.
All right. So the entire crime was caught on camera. All right. And then what do you see looking out here in the audience?
Witnesses.
Witnesses. About 200 witnesses. So I think that we have our case pretty much set up to where, do you think we're ready to make an arrest? All right. So go ahead. Let's go ahead and arrest our murder victim. The fingerprints came back and it was indeed Olivia. Now, Olivia, based on all of the evidence that we have against you right now, all right, we are saying that you were found guilty of breaking the royal law. All right, now how do you plead?
Innocent.
Innocent, interesting, innocent. All right, so why do you say that you're innocent for breaking the royal law?
Because I didn't cheat on my boyfriend.
Because she didn't cheat on her boyfriend, so she is found innocent of breaking the royal law. All right, everyone give it up for our volunteers. Yes, go ahead and take a bow. Now, do you guys see how silly that sounds when you put it that way, when we really illustrate it? Olivia was literally caught in the act of murdering someone, but she claims that she didn't break the royal law because at least she didn't cheat on her boyfriend. Now, in this scenario, in real life, would Olivia still be found guilty of breaking the royal law? Yes, she would, because while she did not cheat on her boyfriend, as she clearly stated, she did commit murder. And what we see here in the royal law is that every single sin breaks the law of love. And so therefore, when we violate one command, we violate the whole royal law. Now, here's where the passage takes a beautiful turn. And point number three this morning is that God's law is the law of liberty. And if you're filling in your notes, you may want to write the reference down. I accidentally forgot to print that for you this morning, but it is James chapter 2, and that is verses 12 through 13. James chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. I'm going to go ahead and read that now. So James concludes by saying this. He says, "So speak and so do as those who will be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." Now, on the left side of the screen up here is a picture of the Liberty Bell. Inscribed on it are the words from Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10, which says this, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto the inhabitants thereof." The bell became known as the Liberty Bell because it symbolized the freedom our nation was founded upon, and many of those ideas came directly from biblical principles, including the law of liberty. Another word for liberty is freedom. And that gives us a really interesting phrase if you think about it. The law of liberty. Yeah, really think about that for a moment. Putting the words law and liberty almost sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? So why is God's law called the law of liberty? Because obeying God's law brings freedom. The idea is that when we follow Jesus and obey God's command, it actually frees us from the trap of sin and selfishness. You see, sin promises freedom. It says, do whatever you want. But in reality, sin leads to bondage. Whereas obeying God's command leads to true freedom. For example, think back to our courtroom illustration. The murderer would have been a free woman if she had simply obeyed the royal law. Instead of being stuck in a way of life that harms ourselves or harms others, the law of liberty shows us a better path to live. That is a path of love, kindness, and mercy. Living this way helps us feel more connected to God and others, and it makes us freer and more at peace. And when we live by God's law, loving others as Jesus taught, we experience something surprising. We actually become freer the more we obey. Freer from anger, freer from jealousy, freer from guilt. And James reminds us that one day we will all be judged by this law of liberty. So if we want to receive mercy from God, and of course we all do, right? Then we must also show mercy to others. God's law is called the law of liberty because it brings true freedom to a life filled with love and with mercy. Remember the question that we started with this morning? If you could choose one law that everyone had to follow, what would it be? Well, the beautiful truth is that God already chose one, the royal law, to love your neighbor as yourself. And if we here in this congregation, if we live by that law, we will be living the kind of life that God always intended for us. And so, in conclusion, when you find yourself in a difficult situation, when you're not sure what the right thing to do is, I want you guys to ask yourself one simple question. Does this follow the royal law? So this morning, we've talked about the royal law, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. And we've talked about how every command flows from that law, and how God's commands are not meant to trap us, but to lead us to true freedom. And so, if you are already a Christian, but there is something that is weighing on your heart, maybe you need prayers, maybe you need encouragement or support from your church family, we would love to pray with you. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're still learning about the gospel and you're still learning about who Jesus is. If you would like to learn more about what it means to be a Christ follower, we would be honored to study the Bible with you. Or if you have heard the gospel, believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you're ready to turn your life towards Him, but you have not yet put Christ on in baptism, then today can be that day. If something is on your heart this morning, or even if it's something that you would prefer to talk about after services, we would love to help you. Please don't feel like you have to face anything alone. That is what this church family is here for. If we can help you in any way this morning, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.